This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Paul Spencer joins us on Friday afternoons in the 5 o'clock hour to chit-chat. Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good afternoon to you, sir.
I never doubted you. People may not know, but that you actually walked in as the opening music was playing, because you're a busy man. You got to be in 40 places at the same time.
Got to be in a few places. Yeah, got to be in a few places. I was in Richmond yesterday.
Where you were? Down in the capital city.
Yeah, I was down on Main Street. I was visiting some colleagues at a newspaper down there.
Uh-huh.
And
At the Style Weekly newspaper?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
You know what they have that we don't have up here?
What? And for folks who don't know, that's Richmond's big weekly.
That's right.
And a very, very popular paper.
Oh, yes.
Much like The Hook. But it's also like, what,
but
400
more popular.
400 pages a week or something like that? It's a big paper.
Something like that, yeah. It's a lot. You know, the one great thing they have that we don't have here?
Is?
Doug Wilder.
Doug Wilder. Oh. It's yeah, because like, if you're ever hurting for a cover story.
Oh, if you're ever hurting
what's
for
what's the former governor up to?
He's always doing something interesting down there.
Yeah.
If he's not evicting the school board from City Hall or something. Or you know, there was something a week or two ago where he said something about pulling out a gun and shooting it. It was some sort of an analogy, but it was a
not
very,
the right analogy.
It was a very strange analogy.
Yeah, interesting.
But always interesting, Doug Wilder. Never predictable.
Wow. So do you like Richmond?
Richmond's nice. I grew up there.
What part of Richmond did you grow up in? Downtown?
No, kind of like the corner of... Rechopped and Patterson. There was
a little, the West End,
kind of the cheap West End. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
That's a nice city. It's changed a lot though since you were a wee lad.
I lived on Ridgetop Road actually.
Ah, Ridgetop. That's not South Side.
No.
Is that out towards U of R?
It's kind of near U of R. It's in a little community called West Ham. West Ham.
There you go. Well, that's just a booming city.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's going on? First thing I want to tell you, you got an aside, a news thing, breaking news on your on the Hook blog today, where you talk about how all the freshmen, the first years coming in to UVA.
The fresh who's.
The use of Macintosh now as opposed to, what's the other one?
The IBM or PC or Windows,
Bill Gates,
whatever you call it, Bill Gates.
Is up to almost a third, 26% now of first years at UVA bring Macintosh.
Yeah, 5 years ago it was 5%. And now it's 26%.
And that'll only go up.
That's an astounding...
And you and I both know because we both use Macintosh. It is... The difference is not just like here and there little differences. It's dramatically different.
Is it? I've actually...
Oh, yeah.
I've never even touched Windows except for a few minutes here and there.
I personally think Windows is crap. And I'm officially on the record saying that, speaking for no one but myself.
Okay.
But... There's just so many problems with it. It crashes here, it does this, or it won't do that. It's always giving you problems. Macintosh, I never, ever, ever have any problems.
There's something to that. You know, I've been in newspapers for about 19 years in Charlottesville, and I've never had to have a sysop or a network administrator, systems operator.
Because you use Macintosh.
Yeah, because you can configure them yourself. You can kind of figure out what they need to do.
Yeah. And the programs, I mean, I'm starting to sound like a commercial, but you can just do so much more.
I'm going to give the other side of that story. The interesting thing about the Mac is it's very much controlled by Steve Jobs and the Apple company. So you may find yourself loving Apple, but I would be a little nervous about letting Apple get the majority share because they're not always friendly to developers. You know, they won't release source code and stuff like
that. But none of them do that, do they? I mean, they're all sort of...
Well, there's Linux, which is the ultimate in open source.
Yeah, and I'm unfamiliar with that.
Yeah, that's like a lot of geeks get excited about Linux because it's all open source.
Right.
You know, it's just... They all help each other. It's free, blah, blah, blah.
But we like our Macintosh laptops.
We like our Macintosh
Big
laptops.
Big fans.
Okay.
So what's the latest?
Okay. So, you know, did you hear about the kiosk getting scrapped?
What? What kiosk? Not the kiosk.
The big kiosk.
No.
Yeah.
That's not that old, Hawes.
Well,
I mean, it's only been there for, what, 10 years maybe?
I think it's more closer to 14 now.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like just yesterday.
It does, doesn't it? It was just a little news box, and then it grew and grew into a big kiosk. You're talking about that sort of round kiosk.
Yeah, I think it's...
Lack of a better word, on the downtown mall, right?
Yeah, I think it's either octagonal or sextagonal.
Yeah, one of those tagonals.
It was owned and operated by... owned by Reed Nagel, the guy who runs or owns SNL Financial. And it was brought to the city in a way by Lee Danielson before he did anything. He being the developer who brought us the Ice Park and the Regal Cinema in the downtown mall, and who is largely credited with sort of reinvigorating the downtown mall about, you know, 20 years after it was initially created.
Yeah.
With his developments.
That's a fair credit, I think, to give.
It might be. It's interesting. It gets debated sometimes. You know, people say, oh, well, I remember 10 years ago, I was covering the Omni Hotel and how the city bailed out the wealthy developers of that project.
A lot of public money tossed into that dark pit.
$11 plus million when I last counted. But that doesn't include the ongoing 75-year land lease subsidy. But that's another story for another day. But I remember when I was covering that, people said, oh, the Omni saved the downtown mall, you know. But those of us who were around in the late 80s remember the downtown mall was kind of a ghost town.
It was a ghost town. When I got here in 88, 89, it was a ghost. After 5 o'clock, there was nobody down there unless you went to Miller's.
Right. I was just on the mall 2 minutes ago, and people were out there in short sleeves and shorts and having a great old time.
Yeah.
And cafes are hopping and things are going on.
So it wasn't really the Omni. What was it called before that? It wasn't the Omni, was it?
It was built as something else.
Yeah,
like Radisson.
Yeah, something
built
like
as a Radisson, and what happened was they went into foreclosure, or they were going to get foreclosed on. They were defaulting on their notes, and the city decided to pay the loans instead of letting them go into foreclosure.
So much for the free market.
Yeah, because as we all know, what happens in foreclosure is you get sold on the courthouse steps, and
somebody
gets a sweet deal.
So they have a lot of money left over to put in it and spruce it up and flip it if they want, or hang on to it if they want.
That's right.
Yeah.
The public was a little misled on that one.
Yeah. So there was that. There was also, you could argue that was it York Place that came before the Ice Park in the movie theater?
York Place didn't hurt. That was the first real mixed-use project on the downtown mall that had retail at the ground level and apartments above, and the developer of that one, Chuck Lewis, had already developed a couple of buildings on the eastern end of the mall, the one down near the pavilion now, where he had turned kind of moribund buildings with kind of empty upper stories into thriving, cool loft-style living. I remember we did a story on him about his vision for downtown mall living.
He
certainly brought several buildings to the marketplace, including one that I think is called York Place 2. It's that red next to York Place, but it doesn't get as much credit because it only has one retail slot that restaurant.
And he doesn't get enough credit for the downtown mall because he was one of those early developers really rolling the dice down there with this vision that if you go down there now, you can see it.
Yeah.
It was realized. But Danielson and his partner Colin Rolfe are really credited with sort of bringing the downtown mall in sort of into an age that you see now.
Yeah, they were dropping.
So that it wasn't a ghost town.
Yeah, they were dropping contracts on like every building downtown. But what happened was, and this may be too much inside baseball, so I'll be real quick. But they put contracts on buildings, and then they didn't always perform, and that's how Chuck Lewis got York Place, because he kind of slipped in there after that other group had not fulfilled the terms of their contract. He was able to get his hands on that. And, you know, all's fair in love and war and real estate.
Yeah, but that the movie theater, the Ice Park, were really only controversial because of the mall crossing.
That's right. Where
people literally picketed.
Yeah, Lee Danielson went to city council and said, to make this thing work, we've got to have a downtown mall crossing.
So people can take their kids down or people can drop other people off right at the movie theater.
Right. And also, I actually was interested in that because I thought the other thing that didn't get as much publicity at the time was just the sort of visibility of the downtown mall. Until you could drive over it, you couldn't see it. Of course, a lot of people were like, well, you know, you see a garden, you don't want to drive over that. But I think that the fears that people were going to get run over proved to be unfounded. But you never know. Maybe one day.
I have believed in the mall crossing, in both of them, since day one. I've never seen a problem with it. Always thought it was a good idea. You know, a lot of people come to town. They don't know it's there.
Yeah.
Get them and they drive through there and go, whoa, look at all this. Let's park and get out and come down here. This is great.
You know what's interesting? Now that we're talking about like commercial real estate and stuff, there's been a lot of talk recently about Satellite Ballroom and Plan 9 Records.
Yeah.
Okay. So like.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah, let's talk about this. Last Sunday, I'm at home minding my own business, and my wife puts a blindfold on me. And
well, you may be going to a place we don't want to go on the radio here.
Yeah, we don't want to go there. No. The clean version of that story. It's all clean. It's all clean. But so she takes me as a special surprise to go see They Might Be Giants at Satellite Ballroom.
You're kidding. Get out. One of your favorite groups of all time.
One of my favorite groups
Did
of all time.
Did you have to wear the blindfold all the way to the corner?
No, I was able to get that off at some point.
There you go. Good.
Yeah. But, you know, they are so funny.
And this music is literally playing out of your Macintosh laptop.
That's true. This is...
And what are they called again? They Might Be Giants? They've been around for a long time.
Yeah, and that...
52, 53?
No. They were started in the mid-80s, and they've played in Charlottesville at least 5 times. I know because I've been to 4 of those shows.
And you know you missed one.
I did miss the one a year ago. But this new song, Mesopotamians, is so funny. It's like classic They Might Be Giants. But I'm really kind of overseeing them in concert.
Are you?
Yeah, I really preferred... Well, I'm old, too. That's part of it. But
so you went to the Satellite Ballroom on the UVA corner to see them live, which is now one of Corin Capshaw's venues for live music.
Yeah.
It's sort of back. It used to be, most folks remember it as the Pool Hall, the University Billiard Parlor. Anderson Brothers had their textbooks there back in the 80s.
Yes. It's a nice pressed tin ceilinged room.
Big space.
Big space.
Which might be a CVS now.
That's, you know, the people close to that deal are not denying, and they're not confirming, but they're not denying, and it's...
That gives life to a rumor, doesn't it?
It does give life to a rumor, so we'll have to see what happens.
So the Satellite Ballroom would then be no more. It would be just a flash in the corner of history.
I guess so.
I wonder if I'm sure you could find another spot, but...
Well, you know what's interesting? Because UVA is doing all that cancer hospital and other stuff on West Main... is you're kind of creating at either end of the corner to the east, you've got the cancer hospital, and then to the west, you've got the sort of UVA arts complex. So you're kind of boxing in the area available for commerce because you're taking so much off the market for UVA stuff.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
And what's happened is, I think we reported a year ago, Dave McNair, who brought you the kiosk story in this week's Hook, he revealed that...
You never actually gave us the story, though.
Oh, yeah, I'll give it to you in a minute. But what he revealed a year ago was that local developer Hunter Craig had bought the Chancellor Building, which I know you know like 42 stories about the Chancellor Building because you're the expert on corner
Well, this
history.
Is the building we're talking about because it's connected to the Satellite Ballroom.
Yeah, but I think, aren't they separate?
Like, they're walled up now. Yeah. But when it was Anderson Brothers, it was connected.
Okay. But I think... Terry Vasallos owns the Anderson Brothers building, and Hunter Craig now owns the Chancellor building.
I'm sorry. I'm confused. Yeah, the Chancellor's building is down the steps.
Yeah.
That's right.
Like with the Chancellor apartments or,
upstairs,
or those little rooms you can
built,
rent.
Built 1914, Dr. Sam Chancellor had his drugstore in the far left side.
And you got the White Spot, which is kind of a classic burger joint with a big white spot in the floor. Well, anyway, it's just you're seeing a possible change in the corner coming.
Interesting.
I'm sorry, I totally forgot to tell you what's going on with the kiosk. The city's tired of dealing with it. Every few years, it lands in the city's lap. Somebody who's tried to operate a business there says, I don't want it. And even though it costs tens of thousands of dollars,
does the city own it?
Yeah.
And they rent it out?
Yeah, Reed Nagel donated it to the city at one point. It's been operated as a place called Secret Gardens, a flower shop owned by local musician and flower designer Betty Jo Dominic.
Betty Joe.
But she just said that it's just not financially feasible.
And wasn't it supposed to be like a little tourist information center?
At one point it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now the city's just going to scrap it?
Scrap it unless somebody's willing to haul it away, says city planning director Jim.
So they're literally going to like take it down to the Ivy Landfill or the Material Utilization Center, whatever they call it.
I don't know.
They're going to throw it away.
They're going to throw it away.
Well, they should give it to like a school or something like that.
If a school needs to sell news magazines.
No,
and
if they
flowers,
need like a kiosk, somebody can find a use for
you
that.
You think.
So who do they call? Somebody's going to want that.
Well, now's your last chance. Call Jim Tolbert in the city planning department.
There you go.
970-3182.
And we got a break for local news here in a minute. But as far as back to the corner,
Yeah.
I don't have any problem with that because a lot of people have been asking me, you know, you're the corner historian. What do you think about CVS coming to the corner? I think it's great.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There's usually most of the history of the corner, there's been a pharmacy or a drugstore at the corner. It's actually not keeping with corner history that there isn't one. So I'm all for it. I think it'd be great. It's a little store. They got a pharmacy. I think they do a bang-up business. You've got your CVS...
my extra care card.
There you go.
I have to use that to get the discounts.
So you're one of those guys when they say, do you have your card with you, sir? You say yes.
Yeah.
I always say no, my wife has it.
Really?
Yeah,
I don't want to lose out on the discount.
Yeah.
I keep in my car one of those cheesy cards for every grocery store.
Do you really?
Yeah, because I have no loyalty. I'll go to any grocery store, whatever one I'm closest to.
And you have cards for all of them.
I have cards for all of them. I got the VIP card for Harris Teeter, and yep. I got the MVP card for Food Lion. I got the Kroger Plus card or whatever it's called.
Wow, that's impressive.
And they must
think... You are a shopper.
I'm a shopper, man.
Yeah.
Fresh produce, that's what I'm all about.
And you go to CVS, too. And you might go to CVS on the UVA corner.
Yeah, but I'd like to go to Plan 9.
Plan 9 might be gone.
I don't know.
I'm surprised that's still even up and running with all the MP3s on the computer now. You can buy all your music on the computer. People just don't go thumbing through LP record racks anymore.
No, but I just heard from a guy in my newsroom that Elvis Costello is going to release his next album only on vinyl.
Really?
You heard me right. Only on vinyl.
You're listening to the podcast of Charlottesville Right Now with Poi Barefoot. Podcasting of the show is made available by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network.
We're talking with Hans Spencer of The Hook, founder, editor, and publisher, and freelance singer, songwriter, man of the people. What are you doing for Easter?
Got the family coming in town from
there you go.
Parts far away.
There you go. That's good. Hey, I wanted to just add one quick thing. We were talking about CVS coming to the UVA corner, and we were talking during the break how Lloyd's Rexall, a lot of people are upset that this is a chain drugstore, but Lloyd's Rexall drugstore was on the corner from the 1950s until 1990, where the student bookstore is today, and was very much a part of the history of the corner. I'm all for it.
Okay.
Come on, CVS.
All right, I'll see you at the Rexall.
Yeah.
Or the CVS.
All right, what else is going on?
You're going to eat your tater tots.
Eat your tater tots?
Do you ever see Napoleon Dynamite?
Oh, yeah, that's a great movie.
Yeah, well, to celebrate the introduction of a new late-night menu and bar, Bohem Restaurant on East Market Street is offering free food tonight. Anyone who comes in after 10 p.m.
Get out.
I'm not kidding.
They'll be packed.
Yep. Barbecue pizza, tater tots, and cheese plates. Also, Cajun marinated frog's legs sauced with a roasted plum yogurt.
So it's Bohem as in La Bohem?
Yes.
Bohem.
It's in the old Live Arts building, 609 East Market Street.
Right across from City Hall, the City Hall Annex, and the police station.
Yes, right there.
Where they used to do the acid house parties.
That's right. Okay.
Back in the day.
Golly.
There's like two people out there who know what I'm talking about.
Living in the past. Living in the past. Okay. Oh, and you know what else? Behind the Wachovia building right now, I believe the Carpe Donut mobile donut cart is set up, offering hot, tasty donuts for people in the downtown mall.
Really?
How do I know all this?
How do you know all this?
The new Hook food blog. It's all there. Dems.
Are you doing a commercial for something on your website?
Sorry.
That's all right. So you
but I'm serious. This is how I know all this
stuff.
So
you have a food... Literally, there's a new food blog for Charlottesville.
Yeah.
For the very latest on all the food news.
Yeah.
Maybe you can blog where the best pie is. Because Brian Wheeler...
I heard you guys talking about pie.
He's in search of the best pie in Central Virginia.
I won't eat pie.
What? Shame on you.
Pie is an insult.
What in the world? You sacrilegious.
Dude, I will not eat pie because pie... Anytime I see a piece of pie, that's like seeing a beautiful fresh fruit killed, roasted, smothered in horrible sugary sauce.
Yeah, yummy.
Hate it.
Kill it.
Love.
Strap it to the hood of your car, take it home, and throw it in the oven.
Nope. No. To me, dessert is fresh fruit. Fresh fruit only. Sorry.
All right, what's your latest on water? Because you're like the water man. You're doing all this research.
You know, I got to speak last night to a local group called ASAP. They're the sort of anti-growthers.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like the ZPG.
They say, because I've interviewed them, they say we ought to be able to look into our resources here and figure out an ideal population number past which, if you grow past, you'll have diminishing returns and you'll become a Northern Virginia So the idea is to grow to that number.
That's what they
and
say.
Then stop.
That's what they say. And apparently they've got some big new grant from the government to study what the optimal number is.
Yeah, to figure out what is that number.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was just kind of talking to them about like, well, I was on a panel with Joe Zakos from the Virginia Organizing Project and Ann Malik, who's on the Albemarle County Board of Soups. And we were basically just talking to him about getting the word out. But I always like talking to groups because it's fun. They always like, how can we get our story in the newspaper? And I say, well, you know, you just got to have a good story.
Good story. Will put
well,
it
how
in.
Do we know what a good story is? Well, you just know it. And, well, our organization really helps the community. And I say, well, you know, yeah, there's like a, what?
And what's a restaurant owner say?
I'd like to talk about my fresh ingredients and commitment to quality.
No, but
that's
but
so true. You only really know that if you're a reporter in this town. Every restaurant owner calls and says, and I want to talk about my fresh ingredients.
Fresh
I only
ingredients.
Use fresh ingredients.
Fresh ingredients.
Well, you and every other restaurant owner.
That's right.
Yeah.
No one ever calls and goes, we just opened a big can of Cisco boiled up tomatoes.
We
and
only
my
use
goodness.
Canned cheese. We only use cheese from a can imported from Thailand.
Yes. Toast on a stick.
So what's the water news?
Okay. The water news. You know, water news. What's the water news? I don't know. Okay, this week I reported that...
Well, you said you just finished another story this morning.
Yeah, but I'm not going to let you know what I wrote next week.
No, don't tell me what your next week's story is.
But I'll help you understand this week's story.
This week's story, you did a lot of research about dredging again.
Yeah, and I pretty much already talked about a lot of this stuff on your show another time. I mean, this water thing is really interesting. I thought when I went into it that there was a water crisis, but now I've learned that we really have 16 million gallons a day of water supply, which is like more than 50% of our current need, and that'll hold us for a good 20 years or so at least. And I showed, using the Rivanna Water and Sewer Authority's own documents, that just dredging the reservoir would provide 115% of the 50-year need without having to build this big mega reservoir that runs under I-64.
So as you see it, they sort of invented this crisis of water and then really we're killing a gnat with a machine gun.
I'm an impartial journalist and I'm not going to say they invented this crisis, although I probably did on your show a week ago. So I don't know. Man, it's just... let's say this. Some of the numbers that they emphasize to the public are not really the numbers that I found. And there's so many, like, they're like omissions. For instance, you know, the big omission I just came across was there's three huge man-made reservoirs that conceivably could be tapped into in the event of a drought. Chris Green Lake, Beaver Creek Reservoir, which is Crozet's water source.
Yeah, great canoe in there.
And Lake Albemarle, which was built by the Civilian Conservation Corps because they needed something to do.
Yeah.
But all three of those are right along existing water intake systems. So if you could get the powers that be to agree to draw those down, which I think in at least two of those cases, you don't even need... Well,
and it's just for an emergency, right?
Just for an emergency.
Yeah. And we've been in emergencies lately and haven't needed to do that.
Well, yeah, supposedly we've been in emergencies. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard for the general public to understand when the consultants say, we've developed a computer program that shows how much water we have. You know?
Yeah. Like, what the heck does that mean?
Yeah, it's like only the geniuses get to know. What about the rest of us?
Yeah.
What if we want to follow it?
Well, what concerns me most about all of this is that we may end up being pushed into having to create this big new dam, this big new reservoir, and seeing these other lakes silt in, and watching our water rates go through the roof when we didn't have to.
Well... Yeah, the Rivanna Water and Sewer Authority admits in one of its recent filings that it has on its website that it's going to be seeking $105 million in new debt, which is just about twice its existing debt. And already 46% of every dollar that gets spent on water is going to pay off debt.
And they want to more than double the debt.
Or no, a little bit less, but yeah. just about double.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It is kind of amazing.
Yeah. What's the point of that?
What is the point of that?
I don't know.
So, there's... It's been fun learning about all this dredging stuff, and we've talked about mud cats, and you can learn.
Yeah.
If you buy a mud cat for $250,000, they'll teach you how to use it.
That's what I don't understand. Why don't we start small and see what happens before we double everybody's water bill and build a huge new dam? Just go buy a dredger, get trained your guys on it, get them out there, and let's just see what happens. I just don't understand this rush to come up with a 50-year water plan. To make it happen like yesterday. What's the rush, dude?
You know, ask the board. Ask Gary O'Connell. Ask Mike Gaffney. Ask the director, Tom Frederick.
Well, that's what's interesting. The board that makes these policy decisions, none of them are elected. None of them are answerable to the people. They're all bureaucrats. That's the bad word. But they're all people that work in the county and the city administration. Their chair of the board is a builder.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to see some more just regular Joes and Marys on that board.
It's only a 5-person board.
Why can't we put elected people on that board? Because they are deciding policy that affects the taxes we pay.
If people rise up and get really upset about the way their money is being spent and about how the Ragged Mountain natural area is going to be clear cut of 180 acres, something like 54,000 trees, if people get upset about, they may ask for such reform.
Yeah. Hoss Spencer of The Hook joins us on Friday afternoons. Thank you, Hoss. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on the show.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.